You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. God's grace and peace to all of you this morning. I come back after a week in North Carolina at a retreat at Canoga and refreshed just being away. I'm grateful for the time and had time to think upon what I was going to preach. You know, 2 weeks in advance, this is inside information. You don't need all of this, but we get an email from Anita, who's sitting in the back, and she asked which text we're going to preach on. And typically, we have to choose, you know, one Old Testament or epistle, and then the gospel is given. So I reflected on the gospel, and I looked in these three short little verses and thought, for goodness sake, there's nothing here. What am I going to do? And that was supposed to be a little bit funny, but clearly, your coffee's still kicking in. And then, of course, Genesis this morning as well. We're caught in the season after Pentecost, where the readings, more or less, we're kind of going through books of the Bible, more or less. We kind of jump here and there, but there's no real theme to consider. We're in just the middle of summer, and it's kind of like life in summer, right? There's not a lot going on, unless you have a vacation planned. Of course, we do have the 4th this weekend. A lot of soccer going on. We've got Dean Pinter's really into soccer, so we're learning to do that as well. Speaking of that, have y'all seen all these videos of international people coming to America and just praising us for our fast food portions and our Costco and Walmart signs? And it's really kind of funny. We don't know what we have, do we, Tom? We can't appreciate these good gifts. But summer in the church year, of course, we have these readings, and they don't always align. But what's come to me this morning is this word from Matthew, when Jesus talks about rewards, how receiving a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, receiving a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And we live in a world where we're obsessed with rewards. We're obsessed with what we receive or what, moreover, we earn, right? And that, on the face of it, of course, is, and not just on the face of it, but at the heart of it, is antithetical to the gospel. But we live in that culture where we put in and we get out. What we put in is directly proportional to what we get out. And the song that's been in my mind this morning is Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. Not my favorite song, but it's on my mind this morning. But I think it operates where you and I operate. We're doing things just simply to get paid, just simply to receive the reward, not because we really appreciate it or love it. But you remember the song. She says, "Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. And of course, the chorus, working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no given. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion. You would think that I would," of course my internet goes out right as I'm reading that. You get the point though. We're working, we're spinning our wheels, we're moving, and often seemingly to no end. We get maybe a little breadcrumb here or there, but we want a real reward, and we want to earn that reward. I was reflecting with a clergy colleague from the Diocese of South Carolina at this Canoga retreat, and he says people love, an outward sign of what they've done. And in the church particularly, we love building projects and moving towards goals, and all that's not bad, but Eugene Peterson reflects on this on his autobiography, The Pastor. He talks about how he had a big building project for his church and that everybody was all in and they were giving their money, and as soon as the doors were open of the new church, nobody came back. They love the project, but once the project's done, they move on to the next thing. We want to see rewards, and we want to see benefits from what we've done. But what Jesus is reflecting on is not so much what we do, but receiving. In fact, that's the word that's given. It's receive can be simply it's passive, right? We receive. We don't earn. We don't do. We don't grasp, but we receive. And Jesus says we receive the prophet's reward. Now, what's the prophet's reward? Well, the prophet has the word of God. And he has the Holy Spirit upon him. And Moses gives the test in the Old Testament. He says, you know a true prophet because what they speak comes to pass. And this can only happen by God's power. And then he says, you receive a righteous person's reward. What's a righteous person's reward? Well, it's eternal life with God. It's being justified and sanctified before him, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's given. And perhaps this is the link back to Abraham this morning. Indeed, we hear in Genesis that Abraham was justified because of his faith. The New Testament, St. Paul in particular, reflects on this repeatedly, how Abraham is a model of a person of faith. And that's not to say he's a model of morality. We see the meandering ways in which Abraham seems to almost undermine the promise of God, but God's promise holds true. And in the end, Abraham's faith holds true as well, not because of his faith, but because of the object of his faith, God's promise. The difficulty with a reading like Genesis 22 is that very first sentence, God tested Abraham. That's a challenge. And I don't think in this mere 15 minutes you and I are going to untie that knot. I'm not here to justify God this morning on behalf of this, but perhaps you feel this in your own life. You feel tested or stretched or challenged at every turn. And maybe you haven't been asked to sacrifice your offspring, but maybe you've been asked to do hard things in your life. Maybe it's the hard thing of just working 9 to 5, trying to make a living. But as the story goes on, and again, there's a connection here between rewards as well, we see that Abraham is faithful. He's full of faith. And when he answers the servants in verses 6 and 7, he says that they will return. Verse 5. They're going to go away to the mountain, they're going to worship, and in plural, he says, we are going to return. The Hebrew reflects the plural there. In other words, Abraham knows that Isaac's coming back with him. Now, there's nothing that God's given him. God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to pull a quick one on you. He doesn't know exactly how it's going to happen, but he has faith, right? That's the point of this whole account. And as we get to the moment, of course, the narrative is just full of suspense. They're going up the mountain. They're going their way. Every little turn, you wonder what's going to happen. As right as he pulls the knife, the angel of the Lord comes and says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now that I know that you fear God, seeing that you have withheld your son, your only son, from me, that you have not withheld. So the angel of the Lord comes in. Now, this is interesting, the language here. This is probably more than you're interested in this morning, but I do think it's helpful. In the early parts of our chapter, it's God, the Hebrew word. This is more than you wanted, I said, but it is important. God, it's Elohim. It's just the general word for God. God in general. And God is speaking to Abraham, but here in verse 11, it's the angel of the Lord. And that word, Lord, Yahweh, is the name of God. And so we see something about the character of God here. Not just God in general, not abstract ideas of what a deity is or what the supernatural is like, but specifically, we see the God of Abraham, Yahweh, who provides, who steps in and provides. And of course, that is ultimately what Abraham names this place, the place where God has provided. God provides. This is Abraham's ultimate reward of faith, not because he's earned it, but because it's been given. And time again in Abraham's life, he's seen this to fruition. And perhaps, you know, I'm still struggling with this. You know, I believe in God, I have faith, but I always wonder what's going to happen? What's the next step? And maybe some of you who are more advanced in Christian wisdom, perhaps experience tells you God always provides. God always comes through. But there's always that leap, isn't there? As Hebrews says, the letter to the Hebrews, that faith is about things not seen. It's not things that we can predict or necessarily guarantee, but we believe. And so his reward, Abraham's, is righteousness and forgiveness and wholeness and eternal life and the promise of offspring and the promise of the blessing that would come. Some scholars would say that when the angel of the Lord appears in the Old Testament, it's a Christophany. It's Jesus himself before he's incarnate speaking through the angel as if to say, hey, don't do that. Sometime in the future, there'll be another sufficient sacrifice, the only sufficient sacrifice. And as it turns out, it's Christ himself. The reward that you and I receive as we receive the Word of God, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the gift of the gospel, that God did not withhold his son, that he gave him up, and that Jesus willingly took our sins and buried them in the tomb, laid them on the cross, and came back from the resurrection, forgiving us of our sins. This is the gift, the reward of receiving the prophet's word, receiving the righteous person's word. And maybe you've been in church a long time, and you've heard this message, and you wonder, when's it going to finally take root? When am I going to see fruition? When am I going to see the fruit from all of this? And that's the difficulty of Christianity and preaching and the gospel, is we don't often see it. Jesus gives parables in the New Testament in Matthew about how the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Often we can't see where it's going to go one day. Again, this is the life of faith. We can't guarantee, we can't scientifically show one-to-one correspondence always. But the theme this morning from Abraham, and what I'll say to you, is God will provide. He has provided for you in Jesus Christ, and he will provide for you in Jesus Christ. Now, more important than Dolly Parton this morning, another song that's come to me is one of our hymns. It's hymn 390 in our hymnal. It's Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. You all know this one. Da 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 da. You know that melody. But verses 2 and 3. Praise to the Lord, over all things he gloriously reigneth. Born as on eagle's wings, safely his saints he sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how all thou needest hath been granted in what he ordaineth? In verse 3, praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy way and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy shall ever attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. Maybe you feel like you've reached a dead end in your 9-to-5 or your life or your relationships or your faith. But this morning, looking at Abraham, looking at the promises of the gospel, ponder anew what the Almighty can do for you. He will provide. In Jesus Christ, he will provide. He has provided, and he will provide. And that is a guaranteed promise from God himself, that we don't earn our way, but he gives rewards because that's who he is. He's a gracious and heavenly Father who will provide. With that, let us pray. God, help our hearts this morning to ponder anew what you, in fact, can do and have done for us. You will provide. You have provided. Lord, give us faith to believe all that you're doing. And for everyone here this morning, that your word would be so grafted in our hearts that we could live in accordance by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.